Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Welcome on in. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and you can take us on the go with the ESPN Chicago app. Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan, we talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golfing season. And Mike, some big news coming to the Chicagoland area later on in the early stages of the fall, and that is that LIV Golf announced that their 2024, this year, their individual championships will be held at Bolingbrook Golf Club. And remember, I think a lot of Chicago area golf fans were a little bummed out when they didn't initially see Chicago listed among the LIV stops for this year. But Greg Norman had something up his sleeve, and here we are. There will be a LIV golf event in the Chicagoland area out at Bolingbrook Golf Club.
No doubt. And good morning, everybody. And it is exciting for us because professional golf is going to come back in a more of a PGA Tour type level versus the NV5, which we get up at the Glen Club, which is ironically a Kemper Sports property, just as Bolingbrook is, because working with Garrett Parker and the group there, it's exciting. I think it's awesome when the highest level of golf can come to what I consider just a municipal or a very affordable public golf course, because now we got an opportunity to measure our game truly against what they're going to do in September. And I cannot wait to talk to Doug at 10 because I'm just interested to know what has to happen in such a short amount of time, because this is highly unusual that you get awarded a major, you know, event like this only a few months away.
Right.
So they have a fast learning curve, and they don't have last year to look back as far as, oh, where did we put that bank of porta potties? And hey, we put the entrance there. And hey, did the traffic flow work well with the gallery when they came through this choke point on the golf course? They have to figure this all out in rather short order, not to mention all the traffic, the logistics, the security. So Doug Fries and that whole crew over at Bolingbrook just got an event on their schedule that probably wasn't anywhere on their radar when they were doing budgets last fall.
Yeah, Doug's going to join us at 10 o'clock today, general manager of Bolingbrook Golf Club. And it was, I was blindsided by this. I didn't think that LIV Golf was going to be coming to Chicago this year. And lo and behold, here we are. And there is going to be not just an event, but a significant one at that, that is coming to a local area. And I look at it, too, as I was surprised that they did go kind of the municipal route here as well, LIV Golf. And because we've seen a number of the places that they've played at, not everyone opens their doors for LIV Golf. But I would have thought that another place around here would have stepped up and welcomed LIV Golf. And especially now that it feels like the dark cloud over LIV and the taboo of LIV has kind of died down a little bit. But Bolingbrook is the spot, and I think it's going to be a great thing for this community, because you think about last year and the BMW and how awesome that event was. If Bolingbrook, and it's going to be a little bit tougher for them to do as opposed to what happened at Olympia Fields last year, who has hosted a bunch of these big-time events, but if Bolingbrook can pull off something similar to that, that's going to be a fantastic event.
Yeah, and no doubt. And to your point, first and foremost, folks, to understand the LIV event that we just inherited, we inherited what is comparable to what happens at Eastlake at the end of the year on the PGA Tour.
Yes.
This is their individual championship. So this is, in essence, the individual Super Bowl for LIV. Mm-hmm. This is a big event. So on its level within the LIV schedule, this event is actually a more important one than the one that was going on at Rich Harvest the past two years. And I might add that Chicago, first and foremost, is the city that has supported Live the Best in the United States in terms of fan attendance, volunteerism, the whole nine yards. And I had a chance to talk to some of Live officials as well as some of the Rich Harvest officials, and they know for a fact that Chicago is the number one market. Jerry Rich and them wanted to take a break for the membership, and that's understandable. And that's why I think Chicago should always have a professional event that rotates, because we have so many great clubs. And to your point earlier, you know, why Bolingbrook? There's so many others. Let me tell you, Tyler, there were a lot of clubs here in Chicago, and I know who they are, that opened their doors, and they wanted this event. Wow. The problem was, with such short order,
right,
they couldn't take it because in certain cases, weddings had to be rescheduled.
Yeah.
And that would be a social media suicide if somebody did right? Mm-hmm. So there are just too many other events that were already booked that they couldn't like upset that might be regular events or regular customers for what could be just a one-off, because that's the other thing. We don't know how many years this is going to be coming because, quite frankly, well, we don't know what's going on between PIF and the PGA.
Right.
So everything is sort of as we know it, as it unfolds. And I think that's some of the uniqueness on why this schedule couldn't be done earlier or announced earlier. But I know a few of the venues out here, and I'm not, unfortunately, at liberty to comment on who they are. But let me tell you, there was an appetite for it here in Chicago, and I think there always will be. I think Chicago should always have a Live event. But I don't know that the United States should have very many of them, because I think they need to go more all around the world. But I think Chicago, this could be our way of actually finally getting a backdoor regular PGA Tour event, because if they come together and they need to have certain world events, I hope Chicago gets one and Bolingbrook has a chance to put it all on the map for us.
And that's the thing, is like you brought up the short order. And that's what I'm really intrigued by to talk to Doug Fries about coming up at 10 o'clock is, how did all of this come together so quickly, and why were you willing to open your doors? Because this is going to significantly alter the end of your season.
Yes.
And as you prep the course, make sure it is in a professional standard. And then on top of that, like, Chicago has shown time and time again, and it's something that I think frustrates a lot of Chicago area golf fans, is that this city and this area is not looked at by the rest of the golf world as a regular stop. And it should be.
It really should.
Look at how the BMWs have done here, mm-hmm. right? Like Olympia Fields, Medina, like all of these different spots have been, Cog Hill, like all of these different spots have been hotbeds whenever a big time event comes here, whether it's the BMWs, Ryder Cups, whatever. This place, this area has delivered great results, and I'm not quite sure why it gets left off the map. And I'm glad to see that there is going to be some sort of event, because after seeing all the momentum that was built up from the BMWs last year, and then all of a sudden it's sort of taken away. And remember, before that, the only other event that we had seen in recent memory was 2020 COVID event for the BMW Championship, and fans weren't permitted to go to that. Right. So all of that, it really, if you're a Chicago area golf fan that likes to go to these type of events, you kind of feel a little bit deprived that a big time professional event isn't here every single year, but this could maybe fulfill that appetite.
And not only that, but we also brought this event from being way out in Sugar Grove. And let me tell you, Jerry mm-hmm. Rich has one heck of a special facility out there. If you've never seen it, it is unbelievably awesome to see, from the car museum to the golf course and everything in between. But what this event does for us is it brings it, proximity-wise, a heck of a lot closer and easy to get to from the city. You just go right out 85 or 55 and you get off at Weber Road and then turn left and the course is on your left-hand side. It's very easy to get to. And I think they will have some nice crowds here. And I think if you've ever wanted to see Jon Rahm and some of these others, and I mean, Brooks Koepka, you name every big star, they're going to be there. And you're going to be able to be up close in a most unique, entertaining way. If you've never seen this format before, it just let the curiosity allow you to go out for one day and just see what it's like. And on certain levels, it's not for everybody, but on other levels, it fits what we're kind of doing day in and day out. When we put a speaker on our golf cart, start playing music, and we're with our friends in a relaxed atmosphere, having an adult beverage while we play golf. That's almost what they're doing out there, minus the adult beverage while they're playing. The fans are, though.
Yep. 312-332-3776. Do you share the excitement that LIV Golf is coming to Bolingbrook? I think it's going to be really good for the golf community in this area. And you think about the talent that you brought up that's coming to this event. Like, these are guys, like John Rahm didn't get to hear the roar of a Chicago area crowd in 2020 when he sunk that, what was it, 66-foot putt?
66-footer.
Like, he didn't get to hear that roar, but now he's going to be back in the area, and I think it's going to be really good for LIV Golf. I think it's going to be really good for the Chicago area golf community to have an event like this around it, especially, I mean, think about it, this event could be coming on the heels of maybe a big-time agreement coming down as well between the PGA Tour and the PIF as well to merge LIV Golf and the PGA Tour. Finally, at long last, I mean, it feels like we've been waiting forever. We're coming up on a year. Like, we're at about 11 months now since that announcement was made. And at this point, we still haven't seen any sort of change or traction moving in either direction since that happened. But we could be looking at this event on the heels of maybe a deal being struck, and it would be good for the entire golf community, and it would be a great thing for this Chicago area as well.
Well, it would even be more amazing if all of the announcements and the come together part of this happened while they were here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And hopefully Chicago plays a role in what the future looks like. And I think
for both tours.
Exactly. And there might be that opportunity. And I think we are going to showcase a great public golf course that we have in our community. Now, are there others that may have more tradition, more history in terms? Yeah, but you know what? You've got to host your first to begin to build your own history. And that's what Bolingbrook is going to get to do, because they have been talked about in a variety of other events that I know of about hosting other professional events. So this golf course has been looked over by a lot of different governing bodies in golf. And now LIV is the first one to go there and actually pull the trigger. And I think it's going to be really cool, because we have a two-person scramble for the Kemper Cup that will be played there in the next month or so. So, you know, those that are entered into it, you're going to be playing the same golf course that John Rahm and DJ and all the rest of them are going to be playing. And you get an opportunity to really compare where you hit the ball versus where they're hitting the ball and how they navigate the golf course and so on. The other thing that I think Bolingbrook has going for it and why it'll be a good site is they've got land. They have a lot of it. And they have this practice facility that is like second to none. And that's probably one of the most overlooked areas of Bolingbrook is their golf academy in the back. So there, I think there's probably, you know, some consideration and how they bring the people in, that you may be entering the golf course from a perspective that you would have never have thought of. And you might be coming in literally through the back door and leaving the front entrance allowable for all the players to get to, and kind of flip the front door of the place to the back and bring the fans in that way. So,
you know, what's funny is, and we sort of talked about this a couple weeks ago when there was I forget which event it was down in Houston.
The Houston.
I saw all the jokes on social media all week about, the LIV Golf is going to go to a place that you can play on a Wednesday afternoon for $80. Like, I think that's good for the game. Because, like you said, you not necessarily can stack up where you hit compared to them, but, like, you get an appreciation when you see something on TV that you can go out and play as a part of your everyday golfing life. Like, I think that's cool and it's good, and it kind of makes the game feel a little bit more personable. It makes the game feel a little bit more like you're there, you're a part of it. And I think it's the other, like, special part for anyone that's a Cubs fan in this city, like, having sporting events on WGN, like that's where it's broadcast here in Chicago. Like having an event at Bolingbrook on WGN, like everything about it kind of feels like it's a great thing for this golfing area, this golfing community to go see a big time tournament out at Bolingbrook.
Exactly. And I couldn't agree with you more about the WGN. I mean, it's, what is it titled? Chicago's Own.
Right.
Right. And that is now becoming our event. This will be the third year, you know, love it or hate it. We're hosting, our community is hosting this event. And to your point, I think something special will happen. Somebody will hole out from somewhere absolutely off the charts funny, and they'll probably be put a monument in the ground there.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of the little things that happen. And then I'm sure there'll be photographs that'll be captured that will decorate the clubhouse. So fast forward a year or two from now, now you're going to Bolingbrook for the first or second time since that event. I guarantee you, you'll look at all that memorabilia through the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's when he shot that 64 that day and did this or did that. And that's all a part of creating and making history. And I think it's exciting for a community like ours to be able to do that, because we are so overly rich in golf tradition because, you know, let's face it, our association is celebrating 110 years. We started in 1914. So Chicago has some of the finest history. Heck, we have the first 18-hole golf course in America in Chicago Golf out in Wheaton. But we're able to start new histories now with this announcement. And I'm very happy for our community in that regard.
Yeah. Are you excited for LIV Golf to make its way to Bolingbrook later on this fall? 312-332-3776. It's coming to Bolingbrook Golf Club September 13th to 15th right here in the greater Chicagoland area. We'll discuss more with you, and we're going to talk to GM Doug Freese from Bolingbrook Golf Club as well. That's coming up at 10 o'clock here. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan. We talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season. On a little bit early today for White Sox baseball coming up at 10:30 and White Sox Weekly. So we've been talking a little bit about LIV Golf going to Bolingbrook. And listen, LIV hasn't had the best TV ratings by any stretch, but certain pockets get really into it. And it's going to be interesting because we were talking a little bit, like this event used to, not this particular, like the individual championship, like this is a bigger deal than the stop that was made along the way at Rich Harvest the past couple of years. This is bigger along the LIV calendar for a lot of those players. But I think the proximity as well is going to be a huge thing for attendance for this LIV individual championship, because a lot of people didn't want to make the trek out to Sugar Grove previously when it was at Rich Harvest Farms. Bolingbrook, much more doable.
Oh, very much more doable. And what I think is going to be really, really cool is all of the build out that they do and the fan experience is going to lend itself for a lot of parents to bring their kids out because there's so much to do. And what they do, I think a little bit better than what the PGA Tour does, is that they really do look at the overall experience now when you come to the event. It's not just about being raucous and rowdy and loud at that one particular par three. It's when you arrive to a LIV event, you'll see a difference and feel a difference right away. I mean, the interactive things that they have at such a high level, the launch monitors and the simulators that they bring, this is real stuff. This isn't like carnivalistic. I mean, this is legit equipment that you can literally gain feedback on your own game or introduce new people to the game because they've got fun and interesting and creative ways to engage those people. So when they say that they're trying to grow the game, when you attend one of those events, they're making every effort to, in fact, do that. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity for people to be introduced to the game in a for the first time in a unique, creative way. But for those who have heard about these names and haven't been able to see them because of the lack of professional golf, and although that they made the jump, you now have an opportunity to see these guys. And let's be honest, Phil Mickelson is already starting to allude that he may retire. And if he does, yeah, you have a chance to see him in his, what I'll say, still his prime, mm-hmm, before he decides to hang it up. And he's going to go down as one of the greatest to ever play the game. He just is. Love him or hate him, he is one of the most creative shot makers the game has ever seen.
No doubt about that. Yeah, like this is going to be, the big names are going to be out. And that's what makes this cool. And especially with the way that some of these guys have, like the names that have flipped within the last year since this event was last here. Like John Rahm, all of a sudden, is coming to a golf course near you, a golf course that you can play. It's right. Not like it's behind some pearly gates or anything. It's a golf course that is very accessible, and I'm sure Bolingbrook got a ton of reservations booked out as a result of, I want to go play a course that is going to be played by a bunch of professionals in a couple of months.
And your point there is so well taken, because if you haven't played it, tell me that you're not curious now.
Yeah,
and
for
I
sure.
mean, if you've not played it, you're certainly going to want to play it before they get there, so you have some semblance of what it is they're navigating. And does the wind really blow that much out in Bolingbrook? Because it does, because it's a link style course. But with a lot of Europeans in the field, I think they're going to like the golf course. Again, after we talk to Doug, I'm going to be curious if they're going to have to narrow in any fairways or do anything like that, because it is a public-friendly golf course. And I think there's going to be that opportunity for these guys to, at times, take advantage of that. But we'll see. And that's some of the curiosity. How will the golf course hold up against the greatest? I mean, they did it down in Houston. I guarantee you they'll be able to do it there at Bolingbrook.
Yeah, I agree with you there. All right, when we come back, you played in a significant event this week as well.
I did.
I want to get all the details there. And also Tiger Woods making some news this week as well. We'll get into all of that when we come back here. It's the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Day in the Chicagoland area. I'm sure plenty of people will be getting some of their first rounds of the year in as well. This segment, by the way, brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today. You're going to want to hit up PGA Tour Superstore as well before you head out for some of those first rounds. Make sure you're all stocked up with balls, tees, all that stuff, everything you need at PGA Tour Superstore. But yeah, I'd imagine a lot of traffic on the golf courses today. The sun is out, and I'd imagine a lot of people getting in those first, maybe second rounds of the year today.
Oh, easily. In fact, it's funny you bring that up about PGA Superstore. I'm stopping there before I go out to the Village Links.
There you go.
I'm play and practice today and say hello to Noel and all the rest of the guys out there.
Awesome. If you want to join us, 312-332-3776. Talked a lot about LIV Golf coming to Bolingbrook. We'll talk with Doug Freese, the general manager of Bolingbrook Golf Club as well, coming up at 10 o'clock, so a little less than an hour from now, about how he's getting that course ready for championship-style professional golf. Looking forward to that conversation about 55 minutes from now. But, Mike, you played in a significant event this week, the CDGA Senior Am Qualifier earlier on Wednesday.
I did. I joined about 80 or 90 of my colleagues out there, and the top 25 went on to the championship. Mm-hmm. There's two other qualifiers happening in and around the state. And then we'll all convene out at Kishwaukee Country Club on June 3rd, where then after we play that day, the top 16 go to match play. And then it's a match play 16-8, 4-2, 1. and it's a grueling few days. Whoever wins this thing by the end of the week, they are golfed out. I mean, that's a lot of holes to put under your belt. If every match goes to its, you know, to its conclusion, you'd be playing basically 90 holes in 4 days.
Wow.
So yeah, but it was fun. I have to admit, I have not played tournament conditions or play or regimen, if you will, in several years due to my new hip that I had replaced. So I've been working up to this, and for me, it was interesting. I mean,
it's
totally different, and it's different than just playing those everyday regular rounds with that regular crew of yours or whatnot. You have the rules officials out there. You have to putt everything out there. Yeah. Even if it's 1 inch from the hole, mm-hmm. you can't rake it. You have to finish it. And you can't get in the habit of raking a putt or doing whatever.
I was just going to say, is that tough?
Like, it is. Because I almost raked when it was right next to the hole. I almost just brought it back to myself in an effort to kind of speed the round up. Not that I was trying to take advantage or cheat or anything. It was just out of habit. And I realized, oh, my God. And not to play the wrong ball. I almost did that because there was a ball hit and it was in the shade where the green was. We couldn't tell where our balls were. Mm-hmm. And here I am standing over, taking a few practice swipes. And the guy said, I think that might be my Titleist. And I looked down and I'm like, oh, sure enough, it was. I don't see my mark on it.
Yeah.
And it was in the shade over on the other side of the green. So those kinds of little things, you have to be, you know, always radar on and antenna up in terms of what's going on all around you. I did get a little careless at the end. I didn't stay in the present, and I literally missed a putt that was maybe 18 to 20 inches long on the last hole.
But oh, wow.
Despite that, I still
and still
able,
qualified.
And I still qualified. It was brutal out there. The wind was howling, and the golf course was great. Bloomingdale Golf Course, if you haven't played it, that's a nice little gem. They have tiny, when I tell you tiny, posted stamp greens, mm-hmm. and you throw that ball up into that air conditioner, and you're hoping either the wind does what it's supposed to do, and if it doesn't, you're left with some real up and down issues. And for me, going into it, the strength of my game is tee to green, and usually my weakness is in and around the green, and the nerves got to me where it flipped. I was actually not driving the ball well, so I was playing defensively out of the box. And as a result, though, it put a lot of pressure on my chipping and putting, which, for whatever reason, was holding par and doing pretty well. And then finally on the back nine, I got things to go again and started off. Anytime you start par, birdie, par, par, that's a good start to a back nine.
So, oh, yeah.
So that was kind of fun.
Well, so the next step for you is
June 3rd is the first round of the CDGA Senior Amateur Championship at Kishwaukee. And the 75 of us will be vying for the top 16. If you don't make the top 16, you go home one and done. And if you continue on, then it's one-on-one, man against man. And if we can get it to match play, I like my chances, only because I purposely signed up for this event with the idea that it was going to be at Kishwaukee Country Club, where during COVID, because golf was so difficult and because I live so far in the western suburbs, I went ahead and joined Kishwaukee for about a year, year and a half, mm-hmm. and was able to secure a senior club championship while I was there. So I feel like I've got some real, you know, home court advantage here,
home field
advantage. So I think if I could somehow get into the top 16, I could do some damage. I'm not going to say I'm going to win it by any stretch of imagination, but I think I could win a match or two. But, I like my chances in match play. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
It gives me something to focus on now. It's kind of like, I guess, a 5K or a marathon, and people prepare for those things, mm-hmm. and then you've got that date on your calendar. Well, I've now got June 3rd on my calendar.
Right.
So it gives
me... What was, like, the preparation like for this? Because I'd imagine, like, if you're going out to play today, you're going to maybe hit some balls before your round, putt a little bit on the short game area, and then go play. But, like, was there a more extensive preparation process for something like this?
Yes, actually there was. And I have to give a little bit of credit to when I was able to go down south to Florida. They had a very cool short game facility, and I worked on that. But why I go out to, like, the Village Links and why I go out to Fox Bend is they also have a great short game area that's all kind of all encompassing in one area. And I brought a shag bag and I spent time hitting little pitch shots, little bunker shots, and trying to give myself bad lies because you can't fluff the lie. I mean, it's, you're playing everything down. And for me, that I knew was going to be the biggest issue was how do you deal with that squirrely lie early in the season if you haven't done it before? Right. So what I did the week before is I went out and I took about 100 balls and gave myself some of the most awkward, terrible lies to prove I could get it out doing this. And it being able to hit various chip shots with the same club is really what I ended up doing. So I focused on that. And what I also did is I made it a point to putt and chip before I hit my golf balls. I used to do it the other way around. Mm-hmm. And this way, having good contact, good tempo, always translated to better sessions on the range for me. And I went back to more about quality versus quantity. I just wanted to make sure my cadence and rhythm was there, and then I wouldn't hit too many balls and wear myself out during the week prior. But that was about it. I mean, aside from that, it was really just trying to get the mind ready for this. And it was, the mind just starts racing. But once you get a little bit comfortable, and it's almost like you need that bogey or two to sort of jumpstart and wake yourself up because you play a little defensive, I think, in the beginning. And then you realize that's not how I normally play. So let's just go back to being me. And once I was able to do that, I felt comfortable. But as I told you before we started the show, it's now gotten back into my blood. I want more of it because it's so cool. Because you're
an addiction.
Yeah. You're so focused and so tunnel visioned on a goal and on a task that you just don't get when you're just playing with a few buddies. I mean, every single shot, every single thing mattered, and I couldn't take my mind at any point. I couldn't take a break. And while you may say, well, that sounds like no fun, well, for somebody like myself, that's what I used to do as a kid, and it just refueled those juices again, I think, for me.
What did Jordan say? I don't have a gambling problem. I have a competition problem. Like you just love the competition of it all.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. And I have to say, I was paired with two of the greatest guys, Jim Mounts and Stan Kapka. And Stan also qualified. He shot a 74.
Wow.
He played very, very well in the back nine. He finished one or two under on the back. So
what's that like? Like you're playing with someone and they're going. And it's when there's like elimination at stake too. Like they're playing a great round out there, and you played a very good round yourself there, but like you try to keep up, or like what are you doing there?
Well, to be honest with you, I just try to worry about what I have at hand. I can't worry about what if he is beating me or not at this stage. Now, if we're in match play, yes, but I knew that there was 25 spots. So I'm happy for a guy like Stan making it because he putted so amazing on what I thought were very difficult greens. And, and that's the other thing I did is I went from the long putter down to a short putter because of the wind and because of those greens being so small. So I went short putter, cross-handed, and it worked. So that's going to be the new way for at least for a while until that stops working, and then we'll go back to whatever. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and if you've never tried any form of competition, try it. Get over that fear factor. Do it because there was a fear in my of doing this and embarrassing myself. Sure, but at the same time, I think it just makes you a better player at the end. And so the CDGA, we offer social competition, so you can get yourself into some competitions before you actually get into what we call then the tournament championship type of competition. So it's kind of like the minor leagues to the major leagues. So
nice. All right, when we come back, let's talk a little bit of Tiger Woods because he was in the news for a couple of reasons this week. We'll do all that when we return. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, talking golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golfing season right here on ESPN 1000. Don't forget, you can download the ESPN Chicago app as well. If you miss anything, you can check out the podcast. We'll talk to Doug Freese, the general manager of Bolingbrook Golf Club, coming up at 10 o'clock. Bolingbrook, the home for the LIV Individual Championships here in 2024. So looking forward to talking to Doug about how all that got put together to get that tournament off and running this year. And it's going to be it's big time golf that's coming to Bolingbrook. So looking forward to discussing that with Doug. Tiger Woods, all over the news this week, both on and off the course reasons. We'll start with on the course, and that is that he has received the U.S. Open exemption to play this year at Pinehurst. Now, he is still trying to maneuver through a play every single month, play a tournament a month. We saw him at the Masters, and we'll see him at the PGA Championship as well at Valhalla, and then hopefully we'll see him at Pinehurst too, because it's been interesting with Tiger since he's sort of returned into the golfing world from a player standpoint. We see so many times how he looks pretty good for the first two rounds, but once you get to hole 37, things start to die off a little bit.
Yeah, he's been proving that, although he's been showing a little bit more progress. But to your point, the last 36 holes have been a thorn in his, well, back, I guess, or mm-hmm. leg or wherever. But yeah, no, Tiger has accepted the exemption. So, you know, we're getting him back on the golf course because his exemption, believe it or not, ran out last year at 2023 U.S. Open. He can play in the U.S. Open till he's at the age of 60, unless he qualifies. And now he's going to either have to rely on winning a major, qualifying, or getting one of these special exemptions each year. But I know that the USGA would like to see him in the field. We want to see him in the field. He just moves the needle. He always has. He always will. And I think, you know, it'll be good to have him. My hope, though, is that he can stay on this prescribed schedule, that it's the PGA in May, and it'll be the U.S. Open in June. My fear with Valhalla, and I know Valhalla very, very well, having done the 96 and 2000 PGAs there, is I need for him to come out of this thing healthy. We need to see him play four rounds, but to be able to stand up after the 72nd hole and look like he could get into himself into a playoff, because at the PGA, he played in the very first aggregate three-hole playoff. So if you go to a PGA championship playoff, it's three holes before you automatically go to sudden death then. And so with the back nine at Valhalla being as hilly and as steep, and they have some severe slopes when you're coming down, for example, the 18th tee or trying to get up to 17, they have some grades there that are going to put a lot of pressure on certain joints and fusions that he has had. It's just going to happen. So if he can get through there with good weather so that the temperatures don't get too cold down there or we get too cold and rainy, and keep him healthy so that he can, you know, because I think Pinehurst is a course that would be suitable for him.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, because mm-hmm. it's not overly hilly. I think it's a course that he could do and do very well on.
Yeah.
And I think he's played it enough. He knows it well enough. So I'm excited by the fact that he's going to be, you know, at this point in the open via an exemption. So he had to accept it. So we know, providing, you know, any health issues, he's playing in the U.S. Open. And I think that's a good thing for golf.
Yeah. Remember, I think back to 2022. Remember how he came out of the Masters a little bit beat up? You could tell that body wasn't quite there. It was a surprise in and of itself that he even played in it. And then Southern Hills just kind of beat him up. Like, he was not healthy. He couldn't maneuver the golf course. Like, it just was not a course that was built out for him. And you could tell that he was really laboring through it.
Yeah. And I mean, and when you go back to the Southern Hills, he's won there. And so that goes to show you just how his body wasn't really ready for this. And Tiger is a competitor. Tiger wants to win and Tiger wants to play. So he did. And he, you know, I mean, in retrospect, he probably shouldn't have played, but that's not him. So I think, you know, his approach by not playing in the Players Championship, he looked awesome, you know, for those first two rounds at Augusta. And, you know, I think he's off getting prepared. And let's face it, he's won at Valhalla. He knows that golf course. And who knows? In fact, that was part of the rotation of his personal Grand Slam. He won four majors in a row, and Valhalla 2000 was one of them.
So how does he fit Valhalla physically? I don't necessarily care about how his game suits it, but physically, is that going to be a course that he can hold up at?
I the front nine, yes. The back nine, that's where this gets problematic, because the nines are so different in their look and their feel. The front nine is much, much flatter, and much less trees, if you will. It's more, almost more on a linksy feel. But when you go across to the other side, now all of a sudden you're going up and down some. I mean, I think about, 10, 11, 12 and 13, for example, just getting down to the bottom and then coming back 16, 17, 18. It's going to be a grueling last finish for him. And if he's in a position where, let's say on Friday, he needs to make birdie or he needs to make this par to make the cut, that is going to be a different walk than it was for him in 2000, for sure.
Yeah. The other piece of Tiger news from this week is that the Sunday Red Line is out and about now. That is Tiger Woods' new clothing line. And people, I think, got a little bit of sticker shock when they saw some of these prices. All right, you want to do a little prices right here? How much do you think the cheapest polo shirt is on Tiger Woods' Sunday Red website?
The cheapest?
Cheapest polo.
I'll go, he's got to keep something under 100, right? I'm going to go $95.
$120 for your cheapest polo. And that polo doesn't even have his new logo on it, too. What? Like the little tiger that's built out in the text of Sunday Red. It does, like, and to be honest, like, you and I were talking a little bit before we went on this segment. Very odd logo.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on right away that it was a tiger. In fact, I thought it would look like a dinosaur at the beginning.
It almost looked a little like Tommy Bahama-ish or like Greg Norman. Like
very much so. But yeah, I didn't pick up on the tiger part of that right away. And maybe that's part of the designer's intent. But I'm not so sure I'm a big fan and why he just didn't stay with the TW. But maybe that's something that Nike has. I'll tell you, making it in the apparel business is not an easy task. But if somebody knows how to do it, I'm sure Tiger will.
Yeah. We've got $200 hoodies on here as well. So it's going to cost you a pretty penny, but you know the Tiger fanatics are out there as well.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, if you're going to wear the red, and it was funny when getting ready for this segment, I noticed the story about why he wears the red. And it goes back to his mom. Back when he was a junior, he said something about the fact that she was a Capricorn and the color red and how it was a powerful color and that he should wear it. Well, he did, and he ended up winning a couple of junior tournaments doing it. But despite her, he would then, going forward, try to wear blue and win the tournament, but he wouldn't win. So then he went back to red, and I guess, as he said, mom is always right.
Yeah. Oddly enough, no red. You can't get any of these pieces in red. You can get them in green. You can get them in white. The closest thing resembling a red is like a salmon color that's on here, but no red that you can get on Sunday Red.
That's interesting. But yet the name of the company is
Sunday Day Red.
But you can't get red.
But you can't get red.
Wow. That's kind
of...
Maybe
that's in the works of some... I don't know.
Maybe they just couldn't get a good deal on red material, or it's kind of an oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp. It's like Sunday red, but you can't get red.
But you can't get red.
That's
the iconic color that kind of launched this brand, and you can't get it. So interesting enough.
Very interesting.
But that's Tiger for you. And he has, I mean, I'm sure, like, I know when there was the initial release, a lot of the stuff sold out pretty much immediately. I'm sure once he's rocking some of it out at Valhalla, that'll only further a lot of these sales as well. But the you're going to have to pull the wallet out because it is not cheap if you want any of the new Tiger gear that's out there. 312-332-3776 if you want to chime in as well.
Yeah, and I'll bet he'll probably release Sunday Red once he wins in Sunday Red.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's waiting for.
Yeah. Certainly could be. All right, when we come back, we'll take a look at what's going on right now at the Byron Nelson, what else is going on around professional golf, and don't forget, we will talk with Doug Freese coming up at 10 o'clock as well, the general manager of Bolingbrook Golf Club, the home of the LIV Individual Championships. That's all coming to Bolingbrook Golf Club later on, starting in September. The segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with top tracer technology.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. Let's take a look at what's going on at the CJ Cup. Byron Nelson, Jake Knapp, your leader right now, followed by Troy Merritt and Matt Wallace. Kelly Kraft in fourth, and then you've got Davis, Riley, Taylor Pendrith, Keith Mitchell, Ben Coles, all in a tie for fifth right now. Did you see our guy, Nick Hardy, hole out from about 200 yards? It was an eagle, right?
Yeah.
He had that on the first round, the Thursday round there for Nick. But that was cool to see. Yeah, that was, like, I get the PGA Tour notifications on my phone, and that was one of the, like, featured highlights of the day, and rightfully so. It was a hell of a shot.
Yeah, and did you also see the T-shirts that Jake Knapp's family's wearing around the golf course?
I've not seen those, no.
It says, nap time. like you're like a little kid. Hey, it's nap time.
Yeah.
But they've got it, K-N-A-P-P, and it was funny. They were interviewing the mom, and she's like, yeah, I had a dozen of these made. A dozen.
Wow.
And they're like, well, now people want them. And it's like,
yeah.
So she said, I'll be bringing more to the next PGA Tour event. It was just priceless. So mom made six for the dad, and the other six she gave to Jake, and that's it. So kind of funny. Jake Knapp, but he is doing it with 64-64 and perhaps one of the prettiest golf swings you'll ever see out there. So if you have any reason to watch the golf, watch Jake Knapp and watch how he goes at it. He's a good guy to watch.
Yeah, not a ton of firepower in this. You'll see more of it next week at the Wells Fargo Elevated event. However, one specific name not going to be there, that is Scottie Scheffler, as he prepares for the birth of his child. And it's going to be interesting to see what Scotty looks like once he has a kid, because that completely shifts your world. And it's not just the Wells Fargo, but it's leading into a major championship with the PGA. And he's going to try to go back to back for majors so far to start this 2024 season.
Yeah, and he's going to do it in what I would consider the most unique and odd way. He's going to actually take a lot of time off and see if he can rediscover the magic after shutting it down for an extended period of time and for all the right reasons. I mean, this is the birth of his first child. But, you know, Jack Nicklaus once said, the hardest thing about being a touring golf professional is not so much even when you get married, it's when you start having children and trying to be there for those certain moments and being a part of their lives and being there for the Little League games and the toll it begins to take. And when I say the toll, what it really does is it starts robbing you of the time that you used to stay focused, practice, doing all the little things, the detail, the preparation. And at some point, you know, and I look at JT, I look at Ricky Fowler, I look at Jordan Spieth. What do they all three have in common? They all started like a house of fire. They all thought they were going to be the next Tiger Woods. They got married, they had children, and now they all seem to be trying to figure out life and balancing it all and get back to that way that they were 5 to 7 years ago when they, you know, just couldn't miss. And so for Scotty, that will be interesting for us to watch. I'm sure quietly the players are cheering the fact that, because I mean, what else can you do? Because they can't beat him. When he is on, he just can't be beat. He's the best player on the planet. And again, we go back to that putter. If the putter's going, it's game, set, match. And right. And even if he doesn't have the putter going, he's going to be right there. Now, whether he wins or not remains to be seen. But can he take this extended period of time and be as sharp tee to green as he always and usually is?
Yeah, he has not played since the RBC Heritage, which was on the heels of the Masters. This guy's won 4 of his last 5 starts, and the odd man out is a tied runner-up finish.
Yeah, so
it, like, that just kind of shows you the dominant run that he's been on. Like, it's funny, too, like, if you look at his, not career earnings, but his earnings so far this year, and you take a standard caddy cut, like, his caddy is one of the highest earners on tour this year.
That's right. I mean, it's absolutely amazing, and it goes to show you just how much these purses have increased over such a short period of time. And to give you a certain perspective, if you take the year that Tiger Woods had in the year 2000, and basically Scotty is on the heels of almost duplicating or bettering this. Now, listen to this. Tiger had 11 wins. Mm-hmm. He had 3 second-place finishes and 2 third-place finishes. If he had that same year this year, in 2000, he won $10 million, $10.7 million. This year, if he replicates that, $92,333,000.
And I'm glad you used Tiger as the example there, because the reason why it would be $92 million isn't inflation. It's the Tiger effect.
That's exactly.
It's the way that popularity and cash has been flushed into the sport because of what Tiger Woods helped build it out to be. And again, part of it is also the live effect as well, and trying to have competitive purses for your fields out there. But all of that put together, like, Scotty could maybe be a nine-figure man by the end of this year.
No, and he really could be. And you know what's funny? When you go back to 2000, that $10.7 million we thought was so far off the charts, because who created that? That was Tiger as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you run that same record he had, you know, 10 years earlier, and it'd probably been a paltry $2 million. And, you know, so the Jake Knapps, the Troy Merritts, the Matt Wallaces that are at this event at the Byron Nelson, they need to pay homage to Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is a large reason why we are where we are with regard to purses and the whatnot. Yes.
Because what, the purse this week is like 9.6, I want to say?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Something. Yeah, right around 10.
Yeah.
So it's, but yeah, when you get into these signature events, I remember specifically when we moved the purse for the PGA Championship in 1993 up to $3 million, the club and everybody was aghast. How can we even consider paying these guys this kind of money? Where are we going to get it from, right? Ticket sales, advertising, hospitality sales. You know, can we get it out of the TV rights revenue? And that was $3 million. Heck, first place gets more than that now. That was the whole purse back in 1993.
It's incredible how things have shifted here. You want to join us, 312-332-3776. I do want to talk a little bit more about Scottie Scheffler on the other side, because this is a very interesting path leading into a major here. And it could open up the field. And I want to kind of start to dissect some of the other pieces around the field, as well as how Scotty sort of fits into that entire picture as well. We'll do that. And don't forget, Doug Freese, the general manager of Bolingbrook Golf Club, joins us at 10 a.m. to discuss the LIV Individual Championships coming out to Bolingbrook. All that coming up and more. This segment has been brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
The CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. The segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan. We talk golf with you every single Saturday right here on ESPN 1000. On a little early today. We're off at 10:30 for White Sox baseball. But we've been talking a little bit about Scottie Scheffler and everything that is going to go into him having to go out and make a run at a PGA championship because he's not going to play in next week's event, the Wells Fargo, a big event, an elevated event. We were just talking a little bit about the Byron Nelson and how it used to be a much bigger event, but you look at the leaderboard here, the clout of this event, certainly the bloom is off the rose a little bit, but you look at everything that Scottie is doing to get ready for this this upcoming PGA Championship. It is unorthodox, even for a guy who has been as hot as he has. But something about Scottie just feels like he can drop in and kind of do whatever. It feels like anytime he touches a golf club these days, he can step onto whatever tee box with as little or as much prep as he wants, and he can go out and has a chance to win the thing.
Well, it sure feels that way. And I think just because of the demeanor that he has about him and the calm and cool collectiveness that he portrays. Now, whether that's going on in his brain or his brain is like a rat and a ferret running around up there and he just doesn't show it. But if there is somebody who could do that, you know, turn it off and flip it back on again, he might be just that guy where he doesn't overthink things and, you know, he just goes out about doing what he does best, and that's tee to green. It, you know, for him, he may be staying super sharp with the putter, and we don't know it, and he's just grinding and practicing because that's easy to do as you're waiting for your wife to deliver. Right. I mean, he could do that in his own green at his home, for example.
Right.
But we just don't know how Scottie's preparing for this. Or Scottie may be saying, you know what, I'm just going to be a family man, and whatever happens at Valhalla happens. And we may see that, good, bad, or indifferent. Who knows?
Right. And it gets to the conversation of, all right, this could be the gettable moment if you're the rest of the field, because Scottie has not been gettable so far this year, already with four wins under his belt, as well as nine total top tens so far for Scottie. In just 2024 alone, he's already reached that height. So, number one player in the world for a reason. You're seeing why, but he's got the first major under his belt already, and he's going to be looking for more along the way. And the Masters was a good kind of reintroduction of Scottie Scheffler after he was a little up and down in 2023 after emerging onto the scene in 2022. But so far this year, I mean, he had four wins in 2022 when he sort of announced himself. He had four wins for the whole year. He's got four wins already. And it's kind of similar to what he had in 2022, where he won a lot out of the gate, too, right before leading into the Masters. And now he's got four wins by the time that April has come to a close. And he's looking for more. And it feels different this time than it did in 2022.
It does. And I'll tell you, if he has a great PGA championship, this could be a record-breaking year on a lot of different, you know, a lot of different levels for Scottie. And what's amazing more than anything, if you look at the early odds right now.
I just pulled those up.
Scottie Scheffler, without playing, is hands down the favorite going away.
Just like he was at the Masters, too, where he was, like, I think four and a half to one. And the rest of the field was starting with like a 11 or 12 to 1 odds. I mean, it's very, he's 3 to 1.
I know. And the next player close to him is the guy that we really want to be battling with him, and it's John Rahm.
Yeah.
And golf, the PGA of America, CBS, they all would love to see John Rahm and Scottie battling, because they have both acknowledged that they love playing against each other. They feed off of each other.
Yes.
They enjoy playing with one another in that regard. And I think we would love, it would be such great theater if those two are in the final group on Sunday at Valhalla. Oh, the PGA of America will be just jumping for joy, as will CBS.
Yeah, and so the other names that are sort of hovering around near the top, you've got Rory, who is like Rahm at 12 to 1. Ludwig Åberg, 16-1. It feels like all value's been lost because he was so, so good out at the Masters in his first major. And both you and I were talking about it after the Masters. It feels like he is primed to win a major, maybe even this year. Like, that's how good he's been.
And it could be this one. I think if he wins a major this year, this is, the most gettable one for him, just because I think the golf course, he is going to fit well on that golf course, and his game is going to do well there. I just think that this could be, you know, that new champion, that new name that comes about, because a Valhalla, let's face it, it has produced a Tiger Woods champion, but it's also produced a Mark Brooks.
Yeah.
What else did Mark Brooks win?
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
And so.
And the PGA Championship sort of lends itself to some of those winners as well.
It does. I mean, you got the Y.E. Yangs.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, you've got guys that are like the who? Who won that year?
Right.
But you also have some of the stellars. So it is interesting in that regard. But I could easily see Ludwig being a champion. Now, I can tell you, the fan favorite, the guy that's going to be rooted for by everybody there, it's going to be a constant parade for him, is going to be JT. He's the local boy there. And he is going to have all kinds of support. So he'll have home field, I'll say, home patron advantage. But it'll be interesting to see where this all goes. Brooks Koepka is another guy. Now, he's going to be defending, and he is starting to look pretty good over there on LIV. Now, I stay tuned into LIV to watch a handful of players, and Brooks is one of them. And right now, going into the final round in Singapore, he's got a 3-shot lead. The last time he was winning events over there, he came over and won the PGA last year. So keep your eye on Brooks.
Yeah, little disappointing for Brooks at the Masters, but sometimes, this is his event, right? The PGA is one that he has gone out and dominated before, and he'll look to do it again. And you talk about, Justin Thomas is an interesting name you bring up there, because that was like the last big thing he really won was that 2022 PGA that we were talking about a little bit earlier in the show at Southern Hills. And it was in dramatic fashion. He had a hell of a Sunday to finally get there. And he may be trying to recapture some of that magic to go out there and do the same thing, because he has been a little bit off the map. He has been heavily criticized over the last year because he just hasn't looked like the Justin Thomas that we knew.
Yeah, and and some could even argue that the PGA Championship, the last one that he won, was it really sort of given to him by Mito Pereira?
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean,
he even admit, like, what was it, at the, they showed it on Full Swing, too, at the PGA Championship dinner, where he raises a toast to Mito Pereira.
Right.
They show that in the Full Swing documentary series.
Yeah. I mean, all he had to do is hit 7-iron, 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 and he wins.
Right.
I mean, and he elected to boldly play the driver and probably
finds himself in a creek.
Yeah, finds himself in a creek. And you talk about a trajectory of a way a career has gone. Had he won that, chances are he'd probably still be on the PGA Tour, right? Instead, now he's over on LIV, and we don't get to see the character, because he is a character, Mito Pereira. And unfortunately, he's, you know, over on the LIV side of the equation, and somebody we don't get to see on a regular basis unless you're hunting the CW or WGN for your golf.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we will talk with Doug Freese from Bolingbrook Golf Club, the home site of the 2024 LIV Individual Championships. We'll discuss that with Doug when we come back. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.